Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Lord Jesus, you know that on our own we do not want to repent. We would rather choose death than life. But you know, all of our thoughts, all of our words, all of our deeds. Yet we know, Lord, that you desire that we do not perish but have life everlasting in you. So we pray that you would come to us and revive us again and restore us. Give us the will to repent that we might grow and bear fruit for your holy name. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and redeemer. Amen. Have you ever asked that question, why do bad things happen? Why do tragedies happen? Why does some people get cancer and not others? Why, when you look at things like St. Jude's Children's Hospital, and you see these kids, you wonder, why them? You look at things like 9/11 and you wonder, why them? Why wasn't I in that building? Why wasn't my place of work bombed? Why wasn't I killed by the drive-by shooting? Why wasn't I hit by the drunk driver? Sometimes we try to resolve that situation by saying, well, it must mean that those people had it coming. Those people were worse sinners than I am, so they must have deserved it. We see kind of this in our gospel reading where Jesus is presented with that same question from people that are coming to him. And they say, look at what happened with these Galileans who Pilate, this Roman governor, mingled their blood with their sacrifices. That's just a disgusting thought, isn't it? He actually mixed their sacrifices with shedding their blood. It's a horrendous thought. And they give an example of Jesus also gives the example of a tower in Siloam that fell in Jerusalem and killed 18 people. I beg the thought, why did that happen to those people? See, what Jesus does is he just avoids the question. He says that's not the right question to ask. Instead of focusing on that general question that has is beyond our thoughts, really. Rather, he turns our focus from outward to inward. See, the question isn't, why did those people die? The question is, am I repentant? Because unless I repent, I will perish. It's hard words, aren't they? But you see, Jesus knows what's most important for our lives. That's why he's willing to tell us the hard things when we don't want to hear it. Because we look at those tragedies, we look at those events in our life that we ask why, and they are bad things. Maybe some of us had to go through those things. The reality is, every kind of suffering that we will encounter in our life will one day perish, won't it? It's a temporary thing. But when we're talking about a relationship with Jesus, we're talking about everlasting perishing. See, that's why he turns the focus. It's not so much about that. I'm concerned with the eternal things. what God is clearly telling us today is that the most important things in our lives aren't our jobs, aren't our careers, aren't how much money we make, aren't our relationships. They're not what people think of us. They're not even trying to fight what's going on in the world and all the tragedies. You see, the most important thing in your life and for the rest of your life is to live a life of repentance that grows in me. Because that's the thing that leads to life everlasting and peace and joy and freedom. Now, how many commercials were you hear about that? Hey, just a reminder from the government today, remember to repent. By the way, Walmart's having a special on paper towels. Two for a dollar. See that on billboards? Maybe you hear about it from people who just want to bat you over the head. And then we learn to dismiss repentance as, though, it's not important. It's just what those angry right-wing Christians talk about. They don't really get it. Well, this isn't the words of an angry white-wing Christian. It's the words of Christ, our Lord and our Savior. You see, he doesn't do it out of hatred for us. I don't say it out of hatred for you. Out of love. You see, because we see in Ezekiel that he desires that no one perishes. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But he desires that all would come to saving repentance and life in him. That is his heart. That is why last Sunday we read about how he weeps over Jerusalem, because they were unwilling to repent. After time and time again, he sent prophets and preachers and teachers. He longed to gather them in his arms like a mother hen. They were unwilling. So it's not about hitting someone over the head. It's not about, well, God just doesn't like me. No, it's that he loves you. And he truly knows and wants what is best for you. And that comes through repentance. See, we're not just talking about initial conversion here, right? It's one thing that's certainly there, that initial repentance and coming to know Jesus, yes. But as Lutherans and as Christians, we know that that's not all Jesus is talking about. He's talking about that our lives would be one of repentance. Of offering up our lives to Jesus. Because he offered up his life for us. To give us that forgiveness. To give us that freedom. That hope of eternal life in him. And it's him and him alone that has been working in you to bear fruit for his glory. And for the blessing of those around you. That's why Ezekiel says, if the righteous person who's done those good things all of a sudden starts to think, oh, it's because of my own power that I've been doing all this, he's going to fall. He's going to stumble. But the inverse is also true. If the wicked has been continually wicked, but turns in repentance, he will be forgiven. He will be saved. And that's what we talk about when we talk about repentance. It's literally a turn. This is the way it's talked about in Ezekiel. That's the way it's often talked about in the Old Testament. Is that we're going one way, turning to our sin, and God calls us to turn the other way. Just like in a car, just like if you're walking on a trail. This is the repentance that God desires from us. This is the repentance that leads to everlasting life in Him. And too often we've used our justification to justify living lives of unrepentance. That was never Christ's intent. It's never something that He said. It is something that the devil says. That let's go on sinning, that grace may increase. God didn't say that. You see, because sin only leads to death. And Jesus came to forgive you, to die for you, that you have life in Him. Not just when you die, but now, in the present. And the way that we grow in that life and bear fruit in Him is through turning from those sins that are hindering our relationship with God and not doing good for us anyway, and turning to Jesus. And also in the New Testament, we get this beautiful picture of repentance as a transformation, a renewal of the mind. That literally our mind and our thoughts begin to change. No, that's not good for me. No, that's not what God desires. So I will not do that. I'm going to turn and seek the Lord. See, that's what these strong warnings from God do to us. That's what they're intended to do for us. Intending us to wake us up so that we turn toward the gospel, towards the life in Jesus. He's just pleading with us to receive. See, I think some of you have been on a farm before,
right?
Maybe you know a strange idea that somehow manure is good fertilizer. You know this? Does this make any sense at all? That literally cow dung is somehow the best fertilizer, right? This is true. It's not just me, right? But yet, somehow, in that cow dung is exactly what the ground needs to become fertile, to grow. And you know what? Our church father, Augustine, says the same thing when it comes to our spiritual lives. He says, the basket of dung, understand in good effects. Remember, we talked about in our gospel reading, Jesus tells the gardener, hey, put some manure around the plant that's not bearing fruit, right? So Augustine says, the basket of dung is understanding good effects. It is filthy, but it produces fruit. The gardener's filth is the sinner's sorrows. Those who repent, repent in filthy robes. See, although it seems gross, although we don't like to look at our sins, yet that's precisely the repentance that Jesus calls us to. We acknowledge our filth. We acknowledge we've been in the manure. And that only Jesus can clean us, transform us, and get us to walk out of there towards green pastures. What we need to remember today as we think about our repentance, so number one, God is patient with you. To tells us that he doesn't desire any of us to perish. Just think of how many times, time and again, you've confessed that same sin and then gone back to it again. Or closed your mind or your heart off to that same thing, and yet the Lord comes to you again. It's because he's patient with you. He loves you. He doesn't want to give up on you. That's why he tells the gardener, give it another year. Give that plant another year. I'm going to wait for it. Give it the best fertilizer possible. Because I don't want to cut down that plant. I want it to grow, to bear fruit, to be alive. God is patient. God is faithful. See, the person who never needed to repent is the one who was faithful, Jesus Christ. One in the midst of all of the unrepentant sinners, he kept being faithful. He knew the question to why do bad things happen. He knew that answer. He knew that it was because of sin entering the world. He knew that it was because of brokenness in the world. See, that's why he came to be faithful. And all that he said and all that he did, so that he could live that life of faithfulness to God for us that we could not on our own. And so that he could give that forgiveness and righteousness to you and to me. So that in our lives, when we don't want to repent, we're not looking to our own strength, we're not looking to our own desires. Focus on God's faithfulness to us. His faithfulness that tells you, I've forgiven you. I've given you this righteousness, this robe of white to replace your robe that's filthy. More than that, I'm faithful to be with you and to strengthen you. We find in 1 Corinthians 10, our epistle reading, it says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but he will always provide a way out. He'll always provide a way of escape so that when it comes, you can turn to the cross, to God's faithfulness. To the Spirit who's in you that's greater than the devil, that's greater than the world's temptations, that's greater than your sinful flesh that doesn't want to repent. Do we believe in the power of transformation? Or do we think that God just keeps us in our sins and wants to keep us there? See, again, that's not from God. That's what the devil wants us to think. Because the devil wants us to think we can never change. We will never bear fruit. Just give it up. Jesus comes and tells you, I've made you alive. I've made you a new creation. My Spirit is transforming you and wants to transform you. See, that's what it means to grow, to be in me. This happens through that filthy manure of repentance as you confess your sins and turn to me by my Spirit working in you. And when we do that, we do see transformation because our God is faithful. Every time. He doesn't lie to you. He doesn't let you down. So what does it look like? Let me give you an example. Just this last week, my attitude wasn't good. Yet my own roommate told me, he said, you know what? I've noticed your attitude hasn't been good. You've been kind of shutting off. I'm concerned about you. And I know it's not something you want to hear, but because I'm your brother and I love you, I want to tell you, you need to turn. And you know what? I didn't want to hear that. I didn't. But God worked through those words, and I'm very grateful that my friend loved me enough to tell me what I needed to hear, rather than just leave me to go further and further away from God. That's what Jesus is telling you. He loves you too much to leave you where you are. And whatever you think in your life is just impossible to change, the temptation is more than you can bear, Jesus says, you're right. But it's not more than I can bear. It's not something I can't bring change through. So I'm asking you to trust in me and to follow me. And we have that beautiful promise in the Gospel of John that as we abide in Jesus, he does bear fruit in our lives. As we are in his word and put it into practice, he does transform us. He will not cut us down. He will not forsake us. But he will be faithful to bear fruit in our lives for his glory, to lead us in everlasting life. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.